Just a few simple thoughts tonight from the book of Thessalonians, chapter number 3, concerning the importance of the grace of God. The first thing I'd like to call your attention to tonight, we kind of got started on Wednesday night with finally, brethren, pray for us, and we got hung up right there on Wednesday night. The whole service was devoted to those times when Paul requested prayer. But tonight, I want to give you 5 things that the Lord spoke to my heart about quickly in chapter number 3. The first thing is the importance of the grace of God when we're distributing the Word of God. The Bible said here, finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And so when an individual or a church makes up their mind that they're going to get the Word of God out, and by the way, beloved, that's what people need, is the Word of God. They don't need to know what you think and what I think. They need to know what God said. And we need to understand the importance of the grace of God when we're endeavoring to distribute the Word of God, both locally and around the world. I tell you this tonight, we also ought to be wanting God to distribute His Word in our heart. Amen. The Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. What was it the psalmist David said? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I didn't get that exactly right. But I thank God tonight for the Word of God, don't you? And we need to understand the importance of the grace of God. This has been helping me this year. I should have known this a long time ago. But before I read, I've been bowing my head, and I've been asking God to open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. I'm telling you, this man, this book is not written for the natural man. This book is written for the spiritual man. And this book is to be spiritually discerned. And so you say, Pastor, God shows you something in the book. How does that happen? By the grace of God. Amen. It's by the grace of God that we can open the Bible and God can speak to our hearts through the Holy Spirit which lives in us. Secondly tonight, not only do we need the grace of God and know the importance of the grace of God when we're distributing the Word of God, but when we're dealing with wicked men. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You can't watch the news and not understand that we're dealing with wicked men. Amen. And you can't live for God very long without coming face to face with a wicked man. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, and that you may be delivered from unreasonable, look at verse 2, and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now listen to me tonight. I believe Jesus, he said in one place, not to cast your pearls before swine. I believe, listen, that we ought to be a witness and we ought to be a light. But there are some people, beloved, you ought to just avoid them. Say amen. And God will deliver us. And I want to say this tonight. Listen to me. You may not like what I'm going to say. But sometimes the unreasonable and the wicked wear a suit and a tie and carry a Bible and go to a church. You say, now, Pastor, you shouldn't have said that. Well, how about this? Jesus said the tares would be sown among the wheat. And Jesus also told us this, beloved. He told us that as long as we're in the world and we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. There's going to be unreasonable and wicked men. But the importance of the grace of God is realizing I didn't deliver myself from the unreasonable
and the wicked men. It's by the grace of God that I've been delivered from those that are unreasonable and from those that are wicked. I praise God for His grace. Amen. And then thirdly tonight, not only do we see the importance of the grace of God when we're distributing the Word of God and we're dealing with wicked men, but we need to understand the importance of the grace of God when we're determined to worship God. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Let me say this. Every born-again believer ought to be determined in your heart. I'm going to worship the King of Kings. We ought to practice up on the way. Amen. We're going to fall at His feet when we get there. That hadn't ought to be the first time. We ought to be falling at His feet now. And we ought to be worshiping Him in our heart and in our life. Look at verse 5. And the Bible said, "And the Lord direct your heart in hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." I believe when a man is determined to worship God, there's only one way. There's only one way that you're going to get to the end of the day. And everything else in life hasn't taken up your time. And that's by the grace of God. Amen. That you've set aside some time for Him. Amen. Some time to worship the Lord. Someone said this years ago, and it helped me. It said, it'll be a happy day in your life when your time alone with God becomes a time for Him instead of a time for you. Amen. And I believe that God's people, they want to worship the Lord. And the only way that's going to happen is the grace of God. Let me say this tonight. A lot of people, when you say worship, and I'm not against it, but the only thing they think about is the church house. All they can think about is the preaching service or the Sunday school or the choir. But I want to say this tonight, and I'm not being mean, but if this is the only place you worship God, I feel sorry for you. If you don't have a closet, if you don't have somewhere, beloved, where you bow your head and where you talk to the Lord and where you open this book and He talks to you, and beloved, it just gets sweet. Say amen. It ought to be. And I believe that's one of the things that's missing in our generation. I believe some of the old-time services came because the old-timers come through the door. They wasn't looking for somebody to pump them up or prime them up. They're already pumped, amen. They'd already been with God, amen. And when they got together, then it just exploded, amen, into the worship of the Lord. And so we see the importance of the grace of God when we're distributing His Word, when we're dealing with wicked men, when we're determined to worship God. But then I want you to see this, the importance of the grace of God when we delight in the work of God. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 7. "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us," Paul said. "For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. But we wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example or ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." I want to say this tonight. You say, Pastor, what do you mean the grace of God when you're talking about work, when you're talking about God's work? And by the way, beloved, it's a bad mistake. It's a bad, bad mistake for the Christian to say, this is my secular work, and this is my spiritual work. And I don't care where you work. If you're a child of God, you're to represent the King. Say amen. And in your language, in your attitude, in everything that we do, amen. We don't get up and put on the Lord to go to church and put off the Lord to go to work. Honey, He goes with us everywhere we go. Amen. And beloved, I believe it's important. It's important. I believe that even in the workplace, it's important to understand the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that allows us, listen to me, to delight in the work of God. You find somebody that's complaining about their job. You find a woman that's complaining about the dishes and complaining about the laundry and complaining about the vacuum cleaner. You're finding somebody, beloved, that's not enjoying the grace of God in their life. I mean, listen, I'm different. I know, weird, I guess. But every time I mow the grass, I'm riding the simplicity, and I'm thanking God that I'm not walking. Amen. Mowing 2 acres of grass behind a push mower. And I just thank God for my lawnmower. Amen. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, a lot of people are grappling because they have to mow the grass, not thanking God that it's growing, and they got something to mow it with. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. And it's the grace of God that gives us that attitude in life, that we're not all the time got the mully grubs and all the time thinking down, so to speak, but we can look up and see other blessings of a holy God. And then I'll give you this, and I'm done. It's really not a real good note, but it's the way the chapter finishes out here. The Bible said here, look in verse number 11 again, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Now watch this. "Now them that are such we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Look in verse 13. "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." In verse 14. "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle," note that man, watch this now, "and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." Now you say, Pastor, you've already dealt over there, Paul has in verse 2, about the unreasonable and the wicked man. Let me give you something. I want you to see this. In verse number 14, this is no longer that wicked man, but this is a wayward man. This is a man that knows God, but he's wayward. And I'll tell you, I'm looking at a congregation tonight. I believe if all of us would be honest, if there hasn't been a time that we've been wayward in our flesh, would somebody say amen? We've been wayward in our heart. Our hearts were a long way from him, a long way from worship, a long way from devotion. Watch what the Bible said. This is where I get it. The Bible said, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. I'll get to this in a moment. Look at verse 15. "Yet count him not as an enemy." I believe one of the things that the devil specializes in is causing two brothers in Christ to believe that the other one is the enemy. Beloved, that's not the case. And that's, or two sisters in Christ, or a brother and sister in Christ. Beloved, listen, whenever we consider each other to be the enemy standing behind the scenes laughing his head off, because he's accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. Amen. Paul said, you don't count him as an enemy, but you admonish him as a brother. The whole idea here, note that man, have no company with him. He's walking contrary to the word of God, contrary to the will of God. The whole idea is to cause that individual to miss the church house, to miss the worship with his brothers and sisters, that he might repent and come back and get right with God. Amen. The whole idea of church discipline is never to drive somebody away, but it's to get them back, not just in body, but get their heart back where they can do the will of God and worship God. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I believe it's important when we're dealing with a wayward man, dealing with men that have messed up and gone contrary to the word of God. And you know, there's two extremes. I've told the church this before. One extreme is anything goes and you never deal with it. The other extreme is you deal with it in order to get rid of somebody. Both of them are wrong. We're supposed to deal with it with a broken heart in order to restore. The Bible said, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also. What that means simply in East Tennessee language is, you might need somebody to restore you tomorrow. So you restore somebody today like you'd want somebody to restore you tomorrow. I believe Paul has laid it out here well, the importance of the grace of God in our life. When we're distributing the Word of God, when we're dealing with wicked men, when we're determined to worship God, when we delight in the work of God, and when we're dealing with wayward men, we need the grace of God. Paul said, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace by all means. The Lord be with you all. Thank God for his presence. Thank God for his peace. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thank God for Paul's prayer. Amen. Praying for us as the people of God. I hope you got something out of that tonight. Don't ever forget. Listen, this man that wrote this, here's what he said. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I never read in this scripture. I mean, we'll talk to Paul when we get home, but I can never read in the scripture where Paul thought of himself more highly than he ought to think. Paul was one, I love this. He says, if you're talking about sinners, put me down as the chief. But he said, Brother Gary, if you're talking about saints, put me down as less than the least of all the saints. Amen. And I believe that is a product of the grace of God that's active in a man's life that help him not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, Bob said something to me the other day. I asked him a while back. He gave up his job at Walmart, and I said, Bob, are you going to turn in a notice? He said, no. And I didn't understand that. He said to me, he said, Rick, he said, you just don't do that. He said, you turn in a notice at Walmart and they tell you to get your stuff and head home. So he waited. He had 5 days left to where he could finish out that week. And he told them on Monday morning, they told him to get his stuff and go home. This is what he said. He said, if I died, he said, they'd have me replaced before my body got cold. That's what he said. Well, I want you to know this in the work of God. God's got my replacement too. And he's got your replacement. We're just privileged to be able to be a part of the work of God. Amen. Here on planet Earth, here in East Tennessee, the best cotton picking spot on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for our people. God, as we come to sing tonight and worship, I pray, God, you just give us a grand time in the Lord. Help us, our Father, to lift up our voices, lift up our hearts, and worship the King of Kings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.